happy Monday, Western New York. Yeah, the voice will come back. The voice will come back through the show, I promise that. It is Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly all week here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope you had yourself a great weekend. I had a classic Joe Beamer weekend, and let me tell you, it was a lot of fun, but I am paying the price this afternoon. I have a feeling a lot of you out in this audience are paying the price for the game last night. Maybe you took the day off. Maybe you took a half day. Maybe you work from home and you're just pretending to work today. Or maybe you work in the office and just pretending to work today, depending on what you do. But my weekend, as you know, we talked about this last week. My weekend started on Friday, as most weekends do. Drove down for the Virginia Tech game. They defeated Wake Forest on Saturday. And then drove back yesterday, didn't even go home, just went right from, we stayed in Princeton, West Virginia after the Tech game, drove up to Orchard Park, tailgated, went to the game, and got home around 12:30. Now you're saying, Joe, you're in the afternoon, you probably got a ton of sleep. Well, that was the plan, but my son decided that last night he was not going to sleep. And since, you know, I did have the whole morning to sleep, I was on baby duty. Let my wife sleep, which, you know, after she had my son for 3 days with no help, I think she deserved it. So just a little foggy today, kind of like the Bills offense yesterday, but it was a great weekend. Wouldn't trade it for anything. 2 days, two games, two wins, and I cannot complain about that. It was, as I said, just a really fun weekend. For me and my dad, as we did a back-to-back football weekend. But let's get started talking about the thing that is the reason a lot of us are tired this afternoon, and that is the Bills-Giants game. Now, let me tell you, I like to start with positives, okay? And the positives were it was an electric crowd. Right, it was an electric crowd last night. The light bracelet thing looked awesome, but the process of handing it out, I really wish the Bills had a better plan in place, because about 5 minutes before the light show, you had people running around looking for these wristbands, and my section didn't have any wristbands. So we had to run section by section until we found someone with a box of wristbands. I think it would have been a lot easier to just have someone handing them out as you scan your phone, your ticket, your card, whatever your, you know, whatever got you into the game yesterday. I think that would have been a little bit better of a process, but I don't coordinate events. So maybe I'm way off there. But not the game that we were expecting, right? I mean, the second week in a row, the Bills have what I would call a very lackluster offense. Really seemed that they were struggling to get things going. You know, if they were playing a more high-powered offense, you wonder if they would even have been able to come back in the second half. Luckily, you had the Giants, and I love Tyrod Taylor, right? Three ACC championships at Virginia Tech, ended the Buffalo Bills playoff drought. He is a legend in my eyes, but he is the backup quarterback, and the Buffalo Bills, I think, should have done more to stop. I mean, he had some very successful drives that their offense just couldn't complete. The defense finally, you know, turned it on in the red zone. So you've got two field goals for the Giants, and a brutal mistake by Tyrod Taylor at the end of the half to keep it a one-possession game. Two misses by Tyler Bass, which is very unlike TB2, so hoping that he can turn that around. But again, I mean, a game that was a 15-point spread, and the Bills' offense just really struggling to get things going. And I have to say this. I thought the crowd was great. I thought the crowd was great for 58 minutes of the game. The crowd was into it. You know, it's 6-0 at halftime, and the crowd is still yelling. They're still amped up. They're still as psyched as when they walked in. But we've got to have a discussion here, okay? And this is a discussion that's open to everybody at 803-0930, star 930, and on the text board. But you go to the game, right? And I know because I sold the game already this year. Not yesterday. I sold the Miami game. I know what people are paying to get into these games, okay? I know what you pay for season ticket price. It's a pretty good deal. But I know if you're buying on the secondary market, how much you're paying to go to these games. I do not understand the people who leave with 2 minutes left. Now, if it's a 28-point lead, okay, I understand, right? You know, a few years ago, we're losing 48-7 to the Saints. Okay, I understand. That's a good excuse to maybe get to the car and get going. This was a one-possession game. As soon as the Giants turn over the ball on downs, right, and the Bills get the ball back, the Giants had three timeouts. The Giants, you know, if the Bills couldn't get a first down, the Giants would have had another chance. The Bills don't get a first down. And instead of it being an 8-point lead, Tyler Bass doesn't get the field goal, so it's a 5-point lead. And the Giants have decent field position with a timeout left because Josh Allen threw an incompletion. But half the stadium was gone. People were already in their cars. Now, I know what it looked like sitting up there in my seats, and I sit at the close to the very top of the stadium. I can only imagine it looked awful on TV. Here are the New York Giants driving down the field to win the game, to beat the Bills, which would have been the third upset of the day in the NFL. And you've got 50% of the crowd maybe still at the stadium. Like, you know when you get loud, you know, you're supposed to distract the defense? It would have been a good time to have all the fans there to get loud to distract the defense. I just don't get it. You paid for the ticket. You paid, I assume, to watch the whole game. Now, literally, the outcome of the game is being decided. And you are going to leave. I do not get that. I don't understand that. And don't give me this to get home earlier. You're not getting... The people who left at the two-minute warning did not get home that much earlier than me. I would almost guarantee it's less than 30 minutes. I don't, what did you come to see? Like, if you don't care about the outcome of the game, what were you doing there? And if you leave early, I'm assuming you don't care about the outcome of the game. I just thought it was a really bad look. Here we are, Sunday Night Football, prime time, ugly win, right? No one was expecting it to be that close of a game, but that's what happens on Sunday Night Football, right? No one was expecting the Chiefs-Jets to be a close game, and it was. No one was expecting the Bills-Giants to be a close game, and it was. But, you know, I didn't notice MetLife being half empty. I've never seen Arrowhead in a one-possession game empty at the end. You know, the famous 13 seconds that we hate to talk about. Was Arrowhead empty for that? I must have missed it. So I just don't get that mindset. I'd like to talk to someone who does, like someone who leaves early in a 5-point game, missed the game-deciding drive. Again, what's that like? You're walking to your car, and you're hearing the, you know, people cheering, people getting loud. It's fourth down. Oh, my gosh, the Giants have the ball? Like, if that was me, and I'm heading out of the game, and I hear that the Giants have the ball, it's fourth down. I'd be trying to sprint back to my seats. It would be like the Houston game. I'd be jumping over the fence trying to get back into the stadium. Again, and maybe I'm cheap. Like, I pay for the ticket. I want to see the whole game. Like, I don't want to miss any of the game. This is what I paid to see. I mean, it's like walking out of... Spoiler alert, if you've never seen the movie Titanic, turn the radio off for 5 seconds. It's like leaving Titanic before they hit the iceberg and saying, hey, I saw the movie Titanic. Oh, how was it? It was really good. It's just about these people on a ship. But you left before the big part. You left before the deciding point of that movie is hitting the iceberg. And you're already to your car. Maybe that's a bad analogy. Because why would you leave that early into the movie? But you get the point. When you tell someone you were at the game, they say, well, what about that pass interference? Oh, I didn't see it. I was to my car. I just don't get it. 803-0930, star 930. But beside that, I'd say for 58 minutes, that crowd was alive. And that says a lot, because usually when the team is not performing at what is expected, when you don't score any points in the first half, you do tend to lose the crowd. You do tend to lose that enthusiasm. And I have to give it up for 58 minutes. The men and women at Highmark Stadium did their job. They were loud. They were proud. And, you know, third down, they were getting as loud, if not louder, than the train horn. And that was proven by, we all got a $5 car wash because they hit a certain number on how loud the stadium was. So those are the things that, you know, obviously the lack of offense and what is supposed to be this high-powered offense, that concerns me. Now watch, they'll go into New England and put 40 points up next week. I don't know if that really means much. New England, it's like the Bills and the Patriots switch places. New England is just having an awful year. They lost to Vegas yesterday. And now the Bills get to go into Foxborough next week and play the Patriots, which probably the opponent you want when you're going to have a short week having to play the following Thursday. But hey, a win's a win, right? At the end of the day, it's a W in the right column, right? It's a one in the W column. They win on a day that they really did need to win because other teams in the division minus the Patriots won. The Jets upset the Eagles, the Dolphins. After going down 14-0, the Panthers really did a number on them in the second half. So it was a game that the Bills needed, and they found a way to win. And you always hear good teams find a way to win. Well, the Bills did that yesterday, just not the win we expected. I would say an ugly win, a win that leaves you with a lot of questions, especially on offense. And we'll see what happens next week. But I am interested in this. 803-0930, star 930. I am interested in people leaving with 2 minutes left. And I'm not trying to, like, be, I don't know what word I can and can't say on the air. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I really just want to know, like, the mindset of you're literally missing the conclusion of the game. The game that you paid all that money to go to. The game that you tailgated. That you sat through 58 minutes. A little bit of rain. Like, you missed the conclusion. I just, 803-0930, star 930. I do want to follow up. Something we talked about last week, we were talking about the Buffalo News. And, you know, they moved their printing to Cleveland. Now, this would have been the case even if it wasn't in Cleveland. But did anyone see the sports section in the Buffalo News today? Giant encounter. Scan the QR code to access complete Bills coverage. So if you got the bill, if you got the paper, and what did we hear, Tanner, last week? Everyone said they get the paper because they want something to read when they're drinking their morning coffee. Nothing about the Bills game in the paper when you're drinking your morning coffee. Only in the digital version. I thought that was pretty funny. 803-0930, star 930. Another thing I heard at the game yesterday, I guess I just got, I don't know, maybe it was just me being tired. I got so easily annoyed. So I was really upset, and the people around me were starting to laugh. I was really upset when people were leaving with 2 minutes left. Like, at least wait to the conclusion. If the Bills get the first down, then I understand leaving because the Giants don't have enough timeouts. The Bills can kill the clock. But when the game was still possible for the Giants to get the ball back, and they did, I just was embarrassed. I'll have to go back and look at some tape. You know, usually they'll say that about the game. I'll have to go look at some tape. I have to go back and look at some tape to see what it looked like on TV when the Giants were driving down the field to win the game and the place was empty. I'll have to see if it looked as bad as I perceive it looked from sitting up in my seats. But another thing I heard yesterday, especially during the tailgate, so many people complaining how cold it was. Like, again, I get it. I had to wear an extra layer than I had worn the previous game. That's how the season goes. It's just so funny how in October, we will complain about low 30s, high 40s, right? We'll complain about the weather that we had last week. But in March, we're begging for that weather. Like, and it feels so different. Like, what you felt at the Bills game last night, you would enjoy in March. It would be a warm front in March. It's so funny how the seasons do that to us. It's always amazing because I'm guilty of it too. But, you know, 40s in March, you're breaking out the shorts here in Buffalo. Last night, we're complaining about how cold it is. We need an extra layer. We need a heavy jacket. And I just heard, you know, a lot of people talking about the weather and how it was freezing and how they don't know if they can do another game this year. I hate to tell you, that's probably going to be the most comfortable game of the games that's left. Right? You got the Bucks on a Thursday night, probably going to be cold. You got the Broncos on a Monday night in November, it's going to be cold. The Jets, the Cowboys, the Patriots, I mean, these are all late season games. It's going to be pretty cold. But it's interesting how by month, our perception of what is cold and what is warm is dictated by the season. And, you know, we've had, obviously, the summer, so we're all warm, and 40 degrees just feels so cold. Let's go to Frank in Williamsville before we hit the break here. Frank, what do you want to say about the game last night?
Sure. It's not a good look in the fourth quarter when they do the kicker's angle, and that's, the place is half empty.
Yeah.
Something like that. But Joe, I watched the game on TV, The number of commercials is unbelievable. During these commercials, what are you guys doing? Sitting there waiting for the game to come back on, or what?
Oh, yeah. And Frank, let me tell you, this happened both games over the weekend that I was at. The reviews and the penalties, and the fact that the television stations will decide to take a 2 or 3 minute break out of nowhere. It's 2nd and 8. Oh, we threw the flag, and now a break. And you're right, we're just sitting there. They have this season, Frank, added a clock to the scoreboard so you know when NBC is going to finally come back from the coverage. But, I mean, that game did not have to go past 11:30. But you're right. I mean, and I get it. Hey, I work in media. I get it. Every chance they have, they are throwing more spots at you.
There's nothing worse than touchdown commercial, extra point commercial, first play commercial, first down commercial. There's no flow to the game. You must sense that in the stadium when you're watching that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, again, injuries happen, I get it. But when a player gets injured, you know, right before a big play and the crowd is into it, they're loud, player gets injured, fine, they get up. And then they decide to use that as an excuse to go to commercial. Like, you're just taking the wind out of the stadium. That happened yesterday. It happened at the Tech game on Saturday. There was a review at, like, the worst point. The crowd was getting loud. It was going to be a fourth down. They review a play. Play stands. But now the crowd has to get back into it. And it really can take the wind out of the sails. I noticed it Saturday, and I noticed it yesterday too, Frank. Great point. Yeah, I mean, you just see how much longer these games are going. You know, you've got your 1 o'clock game bleeding into your 4 o'clock games. I mean, there have been a few 4 o'clock games that go right up to 8 o'clock. That's why Sunday night football can't start before 8:20. And you're telling me there's no way these 4 o'clock games can end at 7:30, 7:45, so we can have an 8 o'clock kickoff? But yeah, ridiculous how late that game went yesterday. I was expecting to be home by midnight. Like I said, I didn't get home until almost 1 o'clock. 803-0930, *930. Anything about the game yesterday, leaving early? Did that bug you like it bugged me? Were you one of the people leaving early? Again, I'm not judging you. I want to know that mindset. I would love to know. You sit through the whole game and you miss the conclusion. 803-0930, it's Beamer in for Bowerly. Welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, it's Victory Monday, and I don't want to be Mr. Negative. I don't want to bring down the mood of the win. However, I just have a few questions. Obviously, the concerns on offense we could talk all week about. We won't. We'll let our friends down the hall do that. But I do want to know the mindset of people who sit through the whole game, 2 minutes left, decide, hey, you know what, we're going to leave, and miss the conclusion of the game. 803-0930, *930. Also, your thoughts while watching the game last night. Let's go to Ellery Center, where Kelly is. Kelly, good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing, young man?
I'm doing well, Kelly. What's your thoughts on the game yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what. I never, ever understood why anybody would drive all that way, dress all up, get all cold, and then leave in the last few minutes. I watched the entire game the next day on the highlights, the whole game in 12 minutes. And I see everything. And I see the replays, and I don't have to listen to the play-by-play and the blah, blah, blah. I want to see the big run. I want to see the big catch. I want to see the team win or lose. That's all I care about.
You know everything
about... imagine.
You know everything about the game, and it took you 12 minutes.
It took me 12 minutes. Everything I wanted to know. I saw an amazing catch. I saw an amazing interception. I saw a great tackle. I saw a great touchdown play. The rest of the stuff they have on there, it is so useless.
Oh, on the TV broadcast?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of drags on.
Yes. It's like Facebook. It's a vacuous response.
Yeah. Kelly, I appreciate the call. And you know what? It's funny. I do that with baseball every now and then. If the Mets are playing and I'm tired and I have to be up at 3 in the morning, I will watch the condensed game when I get up. And, yeah, I know what happened. But I will say this. I love being at the game, right? I hated the COVID season for many reasons. By the way, I hated COVID. The COVID season and the restrictions around COVID. But I hated the COVID season because I wasn't there. I know that sounds really millennial of me, but I like experiencing the game. I feel like I'm missing out if I'm watching a home game on TV and I'm not there. Same with Virginia Tech. If I'm not at a Tech home game, I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I'm not part of the game. And I think one of my favorite parts about, especially football, is being part of the game, being at the game. To take it all in. And I do love the game day atmosphere. Obviously, I wouldn't still be going to games. I love the game day atmosphere. And like I said, I really felt that stadium was rocking last night for a while, especially when the offense was not playing too well. But I just can't understand. And again, I mean, you're free to do whatever you want to do. This is just how I see it. Do whatever you want to do. I just don't understand paying the money, investing a good chunk of your day at the stadium, right? Tailgating, going in. By the time you leave, if you leave at the 2-minute warning, you've already been inside the stadium for 3 hours and 15 minutes. And then to just get up and leave when the game has not concluded. Again, I think it's like leaving a movie that you, even a bad movie, you invested your time in it. Don't you want to see how the movie ends? Don't you want to see how the game ends? Don't you want to see if the Bills, who you were rooting or cheering for, or the Giants, who you were rooting and cheering for, the last 58 minutes of game time, the last 3 hours of your time, if they actually pull it out and win? I don't know. I guess that's what I go in with. I mean, I don't like to leave when it's a 14 or 21 point game, but I know I'm weird like that. But a 5-point game, I think a texter put it out perfectly about why people leave early. Joe, those people are just there for the tailgate. They don't even know who the players are. I heard walking out, you know, it's always funny, you hear conversations, you overhear things. And I heard a conversation while walking to the car. And it was someone on their phone saying, I don't even know what the score was. And that probably upsets someone who really wanted to go to the game, you know? I mean, you do have the crowd that is clearly still there for the tailgate, just the tailgate. Now, I don't think that number is as high as it was during the drought seasons, right? I think 10, 12 years ago, you had people who really just went to games for the tailgate. And you do still have those people, but it's nowhere close for two reasons. Number one, the demand for tickets is there. Number two, the price of tickets would be ridiculous if you want to buy a ticket, tailgate to the point where you don't know the score of the game or who's playing. You know what I mean? Like, hey, don't get me wrong. I like to party. I like to tailgate. I'm there for the game, though, right? So I want to tailgate. Yeah. I'll have a few adult beverages, but I'm there for the game. Like, the point of the tailgate is to get ready for the game. I don't understand getting to a point where you have no idea who's playing. You know what I mean? Like, and we've all partied to the limit and then some. Okay? I just don't understand going out to Orchard Park, getting to the point at the tailgate where you don't know what's going on in the stadium. And I was that way when the Bills were awful. Like, I'm there for the game. That's what I'm there for. I like to tailgate. I like to party. I don't think anyone would question that if you've listened to me over the years. But I want to get into the game. And, you know, yesterday, hearing some of these conversations. And again, we talk about how awesome it is, or, you know, how we're getting sick of it, depends on where you are in this conversation. How awesome it is that Buffalo's in the spotlight, the national spotlight. They're talking about Buffalo. We're on national TV. We're on NBC Sunday night. And then, you know, you've got people who maybe don't watch a lot of Buffalo games, maybe don't know a lot about what Buffalo's about, and they're watching Tyrod Taylor take the Giants down the field and just sections of empty seats at Highmark Stadium in Buffalo. It's just not a good look. Again, do what you want to do. It's your ticket. You probably paid a lot more than I did. I was a little embarrassed. Bad look, I think, for national television. 803-0930, star 930 is the number if you want to get on and comment on that. Also, how you feeling today? Did you take a half day? Did you take the day off? Maybe you're getting some stuff done. You know, I've learned this the more I've become an adult, and believe me, I'm not fully there yet, but the more I've become an adult, even when you take days off, like if you take a day off because you were at the Bills game yesterday and you wanted to sleep in, once you get up, the older you get, the more you try to make those productive days. Like, I'm not 100% there, but I have learned this. Like, oh, I'm not working today, or oh, I'm working in the afternoon. What can I get done around the house? You know, I've 5 years ago, that thought would never have crossed my mind. What do I need? I would be like, well, it's a day off of work. I would have been at work if I wasn't here. I'm going to lay on the couch, watch Seinfeld, and The Price is Right. But now it's like, okay, I'll have The Price is Right on in the background, but let's get the Swiffer out. Let's clean up the floor a little bit. Let's get the Roomba going. A light in the studio just turned on for the first time in 3 years. That was impressive. You know, I've noticed the older you get, the more, I wouldn't say I'm mature. I would say I'm pretty far from being mature, but you try to be more productive the older you get. And I'm starting to notice that. Like, after the Broncos game, my wife and I are both off the next day. We took the next day off of work after that game. I guarantee by noon, we will be doing something productive around the apartment. And again, 3 years ago, that would never have happened. I would have been on the couch until I had to go to work the next day. It's just funny how things work. Okay. Obviously, as you know, when I'm filling in, if there's anything I talk about and you want to comment on it, you have till 6 to comment on it. So we're not closing the topic, but we're moving to something else. And this isn't really a topic that I proposed to my boss, but it's something that I've been thinking of. So I carry one of these water bottles, right? Metal water bottles around. I try to drink two of them a day, and I'll just fill it up with tap water. I'm not running around looking for filtered water when I'm not home. I don't know where it is. I'm fine just taking it out of the faucet. But should I have maybe not done this Saturday night, get to the hotel, and I fill up my water bottle with the sink water at the hotel? Was that maybe not a great move? It's got a little bit of a funky taste to it. And I don't know if maybe I'm just overanalyzing it, or maybe that was the wrong move. I should have just gone down to the lobby and gotten the filtered water out of the water cooler. Anyone take that kind of precaution, or will you just fill up a cup from the tap at a hotel and drink away? I have to say, I did end up finishing the bottle, and that was 2 days ago. I'm feeling fine this afternoon, so I don't know if anything bad has happened. But I don't know. Should I have maybe been more cautious? I know a lot of people do a lot of different things at hotels, right? They have different concerns around the hotel room. I don't have any of those, unless I'm saying that. Well, let me set this up. So a few weeks ago, the Virginia Tech game was way late because of a rain delay, and we ended up staying a lot closer than we wanted to stay, and we booked a last-minute hotel, and you know the kind of hotels you get last minute. So we walked into this hotel room, and it just, I mean, this is the kind of hotel it was. There was a toilet in the parking lot. So, again, last minute, had to book a hotel. So in that instance, I didn't want any of the sheets or anything touching me, and I had to have the TV on all night for the light. So I slept in pajama pants, socks, long sleeve shirt, and a hoodie with the hood up all night so I wouldn't touch any of the bed in the bed sheets. But that's rare. And again, it just depends on if I get this kind of ick when I walk into a hotel room. You get what I'm saying? So usually I will just follow the rule of don't put the comforter towards your face. But everything else, I'll take a shower like I take a shower. I'll drink the water out of the tap, especially if I'm going to work out in the fitness center at the gym. I'll fill it up at the tap in the room. But do you have like a certain thing? I know my uncle will put bath towels all around the bathroom because he doesn't want to touch the bathroom tiles in the hotel. It doesn't matter what kind of hotel he stays at. Do you have something where you avoid it at all costs in a hotel? You bring disinfectant wipes to wipe off the remote before you turn on the TV. You have that. You won't put your suitcase on the floor. Again, go back to the hotel where I put myself in pajama pants, a hoodie, a long sleeve shirt, everything, so nothing was touching anything. I mean, I just unpacked and I put my suitcase back in the car. I didn't want anything on that floor. I didn't want anything anywhere. I didn't want to bring anything from that hotel room home with me. You get what I'm saying? So do you have certain precautions you take when you step into a hotel room? Is it like me, it's a per hotel? Or no matter the hotel, you're taking these precautions? 803-0930, star 930. I know people who, will only bring out of the car the clothes they need to wear. I also know people who will literally unpack their entire suitcase into the dresser of the hotel. I mean, I know everyone's a little different, but this all started because I made the decision to fill up my water bottle with the tap water at the Sleep Inn in Princeton. I didn't notice anything. It's a very clean hotel, right? It was a very clean hotel, so I didn't think anything of it, and I drank all the water. Again, it had a little bit of a funky taste, but then I said something to one of my buddies about it right before the show, and he said, oh, you drank out of the tap at the hotel? I didn't think anything of it because I shower out of the tap at the hotel, right? Like, obviously, I showered. I wasn't going home before the Bills game, so I had to make that decision. So I thought, well, if I can shower in this water, I can drink this water. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text porn, someone said, call in sick, really? Wimpy millennials. Again, I think a lot of people call in sick after a late night. And I think, you heard Brian talk about this. I think people will pick one of the night games they'll go to, and that'll be the one they take the next day off. Full disclosure, if I was not filling in for Tom today, if I was 4 a.m. Joe Beamer today, I would have taken today off. You can call me a millennial all you want. If I didn't get home till 12:30, I have to be up at 4. Yeah, I would have taken the day off. Also having a kid at home, and like I said last night, my son did not want to sleep. He was up at 1:30 and kind of on and off the rest of the night. I'm not complaining. It's love my son. It's fine. I realize this is all part of growing up. But I definitely would have taken today off, and I think that would have been completely justified. Taking off after the Denver game, again, I have the days. So I don't know if I'm wimpy. I have the vacation days left. why not use them? You know, I'm not going on a week-long vacation before the year's over. My vacation doesn't carry over with me. So why not? Why not just use the days when I can? 803-0930-star-930. Let's go to Brad in Sanborn. Brad, any precautions you take when you walk into a hotel room?
I do. I've got, oh God, I want to say about 700 days under my belt of travel, and that's just with Marriott. So over the last 10 years. So I've got a fair amount of hotel stays all around the United States and Canada, some in the UK. And my go-to is you got to use a Lysol wipe on all your common surfaces. So do not touch the remote with a bare hand. It's disgusting. Always do the bed bug check. And don't put your stuff into the drawers. Come on. That's rookie stuff right there.
I've always questioned the people who do that. Brad, I've got to ask, the bed bug check. How do you thoroughly examine for bed bugs?
The most common way to check is just pull the corner of the bed sheets up. You can do more than one, but you can find out just by doing one. Pick a corner of the bed, peel the sheets off, and check the mattress. Even if there's a protector, you're going to see debris. You're going to see something. And if it looks kind of okay, but you're still not sure, look around the edge of the room. Wherever the carpet meets the wall, usually telltale signs, you'll see like little black specks and things. I mean, I've been in New York City where there's a little friend sitting there on a couch as soon as you roll into your room, and he's like, howdy. And you're like, you know what? I'd like a different room, please. But one thing I will say is always be aware. Every hotel has had bed bugs. They all have. I've got a very close friend who runs hotel operations for Seneca Niagara, and it's a whack-a-mole game. They're just constantly fumigating and cleaning rooms as they go, but it just happens. So the best you can do is just be on your toes.
Now, Brad, you mentioned Marriott. You said you like the Marriott. Do you have a brand that has never let you down, or are there always outliers when it comes to hotels?
Oh, you know what? I would say Marriott has been the most consistent, and that obviously is a huge portfolio now of hotels, but I always kind of zeroed in on Marriott because of the simple fact that, you know, there's a courtyard, there's a residence, there's an aloft, there's a full-service Marriott in pretty much every town that you go to. So they're just easily accessible, so that's why I kind of zeroed in on that. But yeah, as far as letting me down, just anything outside of that brand. But I will say Courtyard, as much as I've stayed at a lot of Courtyards, I made the mistake of having a reservation at the Courtyard Marriott in just outside of Philadelphia during the draft, the NFL draft a few years ago. And even though I had status, I rolled in, came up from D.C., and I told everyone, like, hey, I'm coming tonight. And I got there, and they're like, yeah, there's no rooms at the inn for you. And I was very, very unhappy with that and got put in a Quality Inn. And let me just tell you this, the Quality Inn that was about 15 miles away, first of all, at 1 in the morning, you don't want to be driving that much further, but there is no quality in the Quality Inn.
Oh, yeah, Brad, let me tell you, the hotel that I had to put my pajamas on and make sure nothing was touching the sheets, that was a Quality Inn.
Joe, same thing. So that particular place, I didn't take my clothes off. I was like, absolutely not. And the smell of smoke and odd debris and all that. Thank God I did my little bed bug check and I didn't see anything that, you know, gave me pause on that front. But I was like, there's no way I can sleep. This bed is gross. The bathroom's gross. The doorknobs, everything was just like literally disgusting. And I was like, man, I don't know who would stay here out of their own will.
It really is one of those, you get what you pay for. And it's funny, both of our experiences are last minute, right? It was a last minute decision for us a few weeks ago, and same for you. Now, I got to ask, with the Marriott, you ever stay at the Cosmopolitan?
Yeah, actually, Cosmo. So, interestingly enough, last week I was at MGM Grand, which is now part of the Bonvoy Marriott banner.
Oh, wow.
Amazingly enough, that all worked. You know, all of the cyber hack stuff was cleared up for the most part, so I could check in. But I digress. Staying at the Cosmo has always been my go-to in Vegas because of the simple fact that it's considered a Marriott Bonvoy autograph collection property. And as such, you know, you get your points, you can redeem points there and all that great stuff. But the best part of it is, if anyone's ever stayed in any hotel that's on the Strip in Vegas, the lines to check in are horrific.
Yes.
And awful. But the Cosmo, you can use their private check-in, the VIP check-in room, if you're a Marriott Bonvoy member.
Oh, look at that.
So you can avoid the nightmare that is the front desk just having the Marriott. So highly recommend.
Yeah, I will say my favorite part of Cosmo, I think it's the best hotel fitness center in the country.
Agreed. Oh, totally agree. The facilities are just lights out. And the food selection there, between great places to eat, great rooms, and then just being centrally located, you cannot go wrong with the Cosmo.
100%. Hey, Brad, appreciate the call. Brad in Sanborn, 803-0930, star 930. Precautions you take before you step into a hotel room. Back after this.